everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, a chill show tonight. Not much is happening other than in the crypto space. In the crypto space, it seems that Binance getting targeted by the SEC. That is so sad. So sad to see these good companies are getting kicked out of Western civilization by our over-bureaucratic governments, trying to impose security rules onto them. We need a legal reform of security laws. We need to exclude crypto from security laws. It's ridiculous. We want freedom. We don't care about the protection offered by having 10,000 employees at Binance being licensed securities officials. It is a waste of money. We don't want to waste that money. Perhaps the people of the stock market want to waste it, but we don't. So there must be place for the freedom of people who say, I don't care about the risks. I can handle the risks. But don't force our companies to have so many types of employees and licensing and courses and officials and verifications that don't help nothing. It doesn't help our safety. It doesn't mean that the market won't crash. All it means is we're going to pay more in fees if a company wants to survive in America, because that company will have to follow a bunch of stupid rules. Dead Star says, good, I need more time to buy in. Well, you're going to get your shot, because the price has fallen to 25K today. Right now, it is at 25.7K. People were discussing on the Discord, the people in the finance section, they are thinking of perhaps a target around 22K. Or perhaps this is the bottom. So we could be at the bottom of this fall, or there could be a further bottom around 22K. John Drake says staking is being targeted too. Exactly. They're targeting all these cryptos that have any sort, basically, of option, unlike Bitcoin, you know. Bitcoin has the advantage that it's a super simple blockchain, and the founder is anonymous, never revealed himself, so he couldn't be seen as having profited from a kind of IPO-like activity. So Bitcoin is still very safe in light of today's decision. But the problem is, when you attack Binance, you attack a fundamental node of the Bitcoin network, in a way. You attack something that was necessary for a lot of people to access and get out of the crypto market. Speaker's Corner says, why did they not mention ETH? Well, ETH has been previously thought of as a commodity, as a not a security. ETH leaves the place for a network to build with options, but since these options concern generally other coins that are sub-coins of the ETH blockchain, I would be surprised if ETH itself was judged a security under the current legal context. John Drake says, BTC is a true commodity. Most of the others are securities. Yeah, I mean, one day they could make the argument that given that ETH is proof of stake and that there is staking happening for having a control over the community, someone could argue that therefore it is a form of control of a company, just like stockholders, they buy stock. This gives them a vote in the company. Eventually, they could argue that it's a security on that basis. Speaker's Corner says, all you have to do is listen to the ETH founders shilling the pre-sale. Yeah, people were noting on the Discord today that there was a pre-sale for ETH, and yet it was probably so early in the history of crypto that there weren't interest at suing them. But perhaps one day they will go after ETH, which is why most of my wealth is in Bitcoin. I still trust that Bitcoin is the best choice. An old YouTube channel by Dick Masterson is first channel. YouTube just removed my other first channel that I've had since the platform was launched. No ID why. Repeated violations of our community guidelines. We know this is probably very upsetting news, but it's our job to make sure that YouTube is a safe place for all. If we think a channel severely, blah, 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 blah. Too bad that we're seeing more and more of these YouTube bans. Perhaps they are getting themselves warm for the election of 2024. Perhaps they even want to intervene during the primary in case some candidate that they don't like ends up passing through the cracks. I don't know. But Dick Masterson falls as one of the victims here. At a CNN town hall meeting, Nikki Haley... Oh my God, is there a woman that is more annoying than this woman? Totally creepy warmonger of the worst kind. Holy shit, would that be dramatic if this woman ended up president of the United States? You think it's bad under Biden? Wait till you get Nikki Haley.
This is bigger than Ukraine. This is a war about freedom, and it's one we have to win. You look at those Ukrainians and what they do when Russia invaded their freedom.
It's not our war. We don't have to win. We cannot win. We cannot win.
They moved in there, went to the front lines, and fought for their country. The women said, we're not going to stay back. They made Molotov cocktails to defend their country. Everybody gave them 5 days to survive.
Absolute bullshit story of the women are making Molotov cocktails. The women are hired in the armed forces at this point. Those who stayed, they have been put on the line just like male soldiers at this point.
But yet their passion and their will push them forward. What we have to understand is a win for Ukraine is a win for all of us, because tyrants tell us exactly what they're going to do. What we heard, China said they were going to take Hong Kong. They did it. Russia said they were going to invade Ukraine. We watched that happen. China.
Well, isn't Hong Kong part of China? By this definition, any territory that defends its borders, like the U.S., the U.S. has taken New Mexico. Was this good that the U.S. took New Mexico? It's the same thing as China taking Hong Kong.
China says Taiwan's next. We better believe them. Russia said Poland and the Baltics are next. If that happens, we're looking at a world war. This is about preventing war. And so the way...
Oh, the best way to prevent war is to continue doing exactly what has caused wars since the last 40 years, which is American expansionism. We'll see a map. It's ridiculous. I mean... They tried to pull a news story today that there was a Chinese destroyer boat ship that went close to a U.S. ship, and they say dangerously close. First, you look at the video and it's like, well, okay, that's not dangerously close. Like they had a very good distance between the two, and it doesn't look like they are at any odds of colliding. But you look where this event happened. It's like the U.S. is insisting on patrolling international waters that are basically in China. And it's like, yeah, don't be surprised that when a boat comes out of China, they're going to pass close to you. But what the fuck are you doing there in the first place? Why are you on the border of China and international water? What are you doing there? Your country is on the other side of the world.
You prevent wars, not that we give cash to Ukraine, not that we put troops on the ground, but that we get with our allies and we make sure that we give them the equipment and the ammunition to win. Because when Ukraine wins, That sends a message to China with Taiwan. It sends a message to Iran that wants to build a bomb.
And there you go. The America as the message sender. America as the police of the world, telling everyone what they can do and can't do. But one thing that America does constantly is what she's trying to convince Russia and China not to do, which is invade other countries, expand control, impose control, and when you don't have control, invade the country.
Sends a message to North Korea testing ballistic missiles, and it sends a message to Russia that it's over. That's what we have to do. And keep in mind, everybody wants to know, well, how...
There won't be a victory. I mean, we're showering money onto Ukraine. They're making videos. They're making commercials, like professionally filmed commercials with the money we send them. There was a recent video, I retweeted it. It was like soldiers doing shh, and then there's a sniper and he's like shh, and then there's a guy beside a tank and he's like shh. And the whole message of that video produced by Ukraine was, there are attacks, and we will make surprise attacks, but we won't be bragging about it. So don't worry if you don't see in the media any action. The best plans are secret plans. But you are commercializing this shit. You are making a TV commercial about it. That is bragging. That is exactly the kind of bullshitting that the corporate world pulls when they don't have actual sales. It's like, oh yeah, but the potential is great. It's like, yeah, there's potential attacks that we're going to engage in. And today we learned that Russia has made a statement saying they have repelled a particularly big attack. So it might very well be the secret attack. It might already be neutralized. Because if the secret attack was what they were thinking in this commercial, well, it's been neutralized. 260 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed today and yesterday in the repelling of this attack, which included sending six tanks and lots of soldiers toward Donetsk. That would be it. That would be what they made a commercial about, to tell their population, don't worry, you won't hear us, but we have something big brewing. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did you see the clip of the CEO of BlackRock saying that at BlackRock, we are forcing behavior, you have to force behavior, talking about the companies BlackRock invest in? Yes. So he was describing the... I didn't show it on the show, because I don't find this particularly insightful or surprising. But he was describing the whole woke bullying that is happening onto the corporate world. And basically bragging that they were forcing. It's like, yeah, it won't happen if we don't force it. So we force it. I mean, this is the kind of discourse you tend to hear on feminist and anti-racist sides. It's just posturing. They like to posture as bullies. It's like, you better respect our existence or we'll make you. And it's like, no, yeah, you're like the lowest threat possible in the world. You just living away from you is sufficient, basically, to protect myself from you. John Drake says, why is the West producing their highest level CPUs off the coast of China? That's the question that we should be asking. It's ask clown stupidity. It is. I think it all starts with a need for cheap labor, cheap material, and yet a high IQ workforce. So cheap labor, you can get this in like Mexico. You can get this in South America. You can get this in various ways. But I think that Taiwan was offering an Asian level of intelligence, so they could have some kind of engineering class there. And at the same time, Western civilization could send its own engineers. I think this is what Taiwan offered ultimately. But yeah, it is very weird in the end. Very weird. But I think that the 80s, 90s was a time at which the economic forces were making it so different in terms of cost of labor and cost of materials that it made sense then. Eventually, of course, what happens is the more you pay, the more a nation becomes a producer for another nation, the more their levels of life, there's a term for it, but you know, the more their wealth grows, and eventually it becomes not so distinguishable. And the reasons that motivated this in the 80s and 90s may not be true anymore. In the sense that if we were to start from scratch, CPU businesses, they might not necessarily see Taiwan as the destination. Dead Star sends $1.23. He says, I don't get the send a message to China bullshit. So if China invades Taiwan, America's Chinese-owned Congress immediately shuts down all Chinese trade, the trade that keeps the entirety of their stock portfolio out of the garbage, sounds great to me. Yeah, I think it is one of the fears. One of the fears is that the kind of economic punishment that was pulled against Russia would be much more hurtful, to the point of perhaps even impossibility. If America wanted to punish China in the way they punished Russia, that might be hard. That might be suicidal, both politically and economically. So that is a reasonable concern. Yes. Now, So we're not going to punish them. So then what? Well, then it is the choice of China whether they want to invade Taiwan, take control of it, and that's it. That's all.
How does this war end? It would end in a day if Russia would pull out. If Ukraine pulls out, then we're all looking at a world war.
So this is a real issue that distinguishes you from some of your opponents.
A world war, why? World war, why? The explanation for the world war she's talking about. A world war because you keep expanding and you keep not tolerating that other powers of the world may want to do exactly what America has been doing forever.
Former President Trump has refused to say whether he believes Russia should win the war or if Putin is a war criminal. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis referred to Russia's invasion of Ukraine as a, quote, territorial dispute. What do you think of that?
I think that that's a mistake that too many have made. That's exactly what got the Europeans in this position with Russia in the first place, is that they're too trustful. You can't be trustful of a regime that goes in and tries to take away people's freedoms. What we need to understand is that Ukraine has...
It's not about people's freedom. And that is the big bullshit that they're trying to sell. You know how they use the weapons of mass destruction, and then they use the progression of women's rights in the Middle East. Like this whole idea that we would basically bring to the Middle East a civilized pro-woman, maybe even pro-LGBT. But that's what they're headed toward. It's going to be defending freedom. At this point, I don't know that the American regime has anything that distinguishes it from the Russian regime in terms of authoritarianism. We are kidnapping children from their fathers through family courts without due process. We are kidnapping children from parents through CPS services without due process. We have forced medical interventions, forced medical devices. We have probate courts that remove people's rights. We have government censorship. We have intelligence attacking its own people. We have surveillance. What is it that's in Russia that distinguishes it from the Western world in terms of freedom? Nothing. There's nothing left. Nothing distinguishes America as a free world anymore. Mark D says, by the time clown world neocons like Haley are done, names like freedom, democracy, and equality will have a bad name for generations. Exactly. Adair says, yes, but we live in a rules-based order, JF. So even if the contents are the same as the Soviet Union, the label is better. Well, okay. So your point is we have the label of freedom? Well, we certainly have it. Ailey is yelling it right there. Silver Spider sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, JF, let's say the next time you open a can of Diet Pepsi, a genie pops out and says he will grant you 3 wishes. What do you wish for? Also, you can't wish for more wishes. Okay. I wish to have many healthy children with a stable wife. I wish... So is that 2 wishes? That might be 2 wishes. A stable family with lots of children. I wish... I wish to find a solution to the Goldbeck conjecture. There. That is all I need in life. I don't need anything else. Those would be my 2 wishes. Adam says, JF, if I run Canada, could I put you in charge of the CRTC? Absolutely. I'll take any job to improve this system. Now, I will not solicit such jobs because I know that they would not give it to me. But I would totally accept such jobs if I could improve the world with it.
Has the ability to win, but we have to think bigger than that. And for them to sit there and say that this is a territorial dispute, that's just not the case. To say that we should stay neutral, it is in the best interest of America. It's in the best interest of our national security for Ukraine to win. We have to see this through. We have to finish.
We have to finish this. You won't finish. Russia could be leading this war of attrition for 60 years. There's no finishing. There's no finishing this progression. If you were to fund a lot and send your own troops and force a lot, you could push back Russia, but they would extenuate you, just like you've been extenuated, by the way, by a bunch of mountain dwelling sand people. When they're lucky, they were driving old 80s Dodge pickup trucks that somehow they got. That is what stopped the American forces in Afghanistan. You want to face Russia? You want to face Russia over a 60-year attrition war? And you want to finish it? What is this finishing she's talking about? There's no finishing. You can barely hold Afghanistan. And that is at high cost, at mega high cost for the American people. Robert Kennedy has been appearing on a Twitter space with Elon Musk today. I have watched the Twitter space. Not super fascinating. I mean, he's a guy, basically, who is based on vaccines, but who is truly a Democrat, and who's truly a Democrat, basically, in the perhaps Bill Clinton 90s type of sense. And he's like, they were describing, basically, the takeover of the Democrats and the fact that the Democrats, there are no more voices except him. Official high-level voices in the Democrats that are rooting, for example, for liberty, for free speech, for freedom against medical interventions. Basically, the concept of liberty has been eradicated from the Democrat Party. But the thing is, he won't bring it back. This mechanism that led to this is a establishment takeover of the Democrat Party. But it's been going on for much longer than people would like to admit. You know, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton was a warmonger of the establishment too. Barack Obama was a warmonger of the establishment, but he was black, so people kind of forgave him. But they are all establishment candidates, and the Democrat Party, therefore, has been attaining its current state, not randomly. It's been a directed, it's been a push that has led to this, and the Democrat Party is stuck there. There's no way to save it, so Robert Kennedy will not be doing good. It will need like a death of Joe Biden and a death of Kamala at the, just the right moment for him to get any chance. On top of it, old videos of him are emerging. He doesn't seem like particularly free speech. He wants to present himself as the kind of free speech candidate in the Democrat Party. But look at what he says here.
I think they should be in jail. I think they should be enjoying three hots and a cot at The Hague with all the other war criminals who are there.
So he's talking about putting the polluters in jail, joining the Hague and joining the war criminals in jail.
What about politicians, people who deny, who express skepticism?
And now politicians who express skepticism around climate change.
Selling out the public trust. And, you know, I think those guys who are doing the Koch brothers bidding and who, I guess, all the evidence of the rational mind are saying that global warming doesn't exist, that they are contemptible human beings, and that, you know, I wish that there were a law you could punish them under.
He says, I wish there was a law to punish people who express climate skepticism.
I don't think there's a law that you can punish those politicians.
He says, I don't think there's a law where we can punish them.
But I think the Koch brothers should be prosecuted for reckless endangerment? Absolutely.
So now the Koch brothers, those who fund right-wing arguments, right-wing think tanks on the public space, should be prosecuted for reckless endangerment. I mean, that sounds like a vindictive man, a man who is driven by emotion. Of course, he probably doesn't think this anymore. I'm sure that now that he's a presidential candidate, he would soften this considerably if asked about it. But it shows me the kind of guy that he is, and someone that believes so much in his social cause that he wants to put everyone in jail around it is kind of worrying. That wouldn't be a good candidate in my view. Nengi Hodo says, second question, what is the most respectful way to pressure online artists to connecting with each other? What is the way to store ice at 100 degrees Celsius? How do I store liquid water at minus 2,000 degrees Celsius? Making artists connect to each other is not something you're going to get by pressuring them. The only way you can attract artists to a common cause is by making a very fun thing that they will willfully themselves find entertaining and enjoying enough to join it. So you have kind of groupings of artists around 4chan teams and various forums on the internet, but you have to have a cause that you don't pressure them to join. But that cause is funny and interesting to them in a way that piques their artistic preferences and in a way that they freely join it. And he says, spurred by your statement that you are the most autistic ally, powerful person that you know, I thought, well, I didn't say that I was an autistic ally. I said I was autistic. That's it. There's no such thing as allies in the autism community. That's a no-no. You've just stepped on a very taboo thing. There is no concept of allyship in the autistic community. In fact, there's no autistic community. I thought of the other super autist in my spheres, and I can't think of how I would nudge you together. Well, definitely you are not an autist. You think in terms of non-autism. You think of getting us together. We don't care about each other. We don't care about joining each other. Secondly, anything that you do in group is less productive. Any collective and common endeavor is just sludge compared to what you can accomplish on your own. And given that the strength of artists is this kind of self-thinking and non-social engagement, you have no strength to put together that would be benefiting from being regrouped. So basically, you are a non-artist trying to impose your preferences, your social preferences onto artists, but it doesn't work because you don't understand. Black Tie says, JF, how much time have you spent on 4chan? Seriously, not so much. Not as much as people would think. Perhaps in my whole life in total, I may have browsed 4chan for 8 hours. Because it's very rare that I will browse 4chan for a long time. Typically, if I have a day of slow news, I'm going to get on there, get a 5-minute peek, and that's pretty much it. There were times in the Pizzagate days, it was crazy what was happening on 4chan. So in those days, you would have, was it even 4chan? I think it was 4chan. You would have to check, was 4chan up back in the Pizzagate days? Not that I ever believed in Pizzagate, what came to be basically a conspiracy theory. But back in those days, it was the Podesta email release, and people were going insane, and there was so many theories to study and to say, is this true? So many messages to decode. Is this some code about some criminality or something? I loved these days. These days were the days where I spent most time on 4chan. Let's say that if I include those days, I probably spent 72 hours, not 8 hours. Yeah, because 8 hours is anything outside of 2016. But in 2016, I could spend long periods of time browsing through all of the posts. 4chan has been around since 2004. Oh, okay. So it's realistic to think that I was on 4chan back in those days. Did I have a super chat that I missed? Some random bloke says Nikki Haley is Indian. I bet she will push bills for mass immigration from India and sign pro-business deals that favor India. That is a possibility. But at this point, I mean, pretty much all the candidates on the table will do that. Blanket says, JF, did you already talk about Walmart going full retarget? No. Walmart, how would I find this news item? News. Walmart meeting highlights, recession prep, ChatGPT, Shania Twain, Snoop Dogg, and more. No, that doesn't sound like a related news item. Well, you're going to have to send me your link if you want me to cover this. We are not alone. U.S. has retrieved craft of non-human origin, says whistleblower from Government Task Force on UFOs. A decorated whistleblower provides stunning insight into the U.S. government's history with UFOs. A former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. This is not repeatable. It is not testable. It is not. It's impossible to determine whether this is true. And so I'm not going to believe it until I'm provided evidence. The recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles through the present day. We are not talking about prosaic origins or identities. The material includes intact and partially intact vehicles. According to analysis, the objects are of exotic origin, non-human intelligence, whether extraterrestrial or unknown origin, based on the vehicle morphologies and material science testing, and the possession of unique atomic arrangements and radiological signatures. UFO legacy programs have long been concealed within multiple agencies nesting UAP activities in conventional secret access programs without appropriate reporting to various oversight authorities. Materials from objects of non-human origin are in the possession of highly secret black programs, the classified locations, names, and other specific data of which were provided to the Inspector General and Intel Committee staff. I just don't buy it. Show me the vehicles. Show me whatever it is. Show me those materials of non-human origin. I'm sure there's going to be an explanation. And it's never extraterrestrials, unfortunately. That would be very exciting. But this is not so different from the kind of text files we were exchanging back in the 90s on BBSs. So it's like, okay, I read a text file that was claiming the exact same thing 30 years ago. What are you going to do about it? This didn't seem supported then, doesn't seem supported now, but there's always someone who wants to pull a big story like this. Walmart to offer Pride merchandise despite controversies. Walmart is continuing to provide LGBT products as part of Pride Month. We haven't changed anything in our assortment. Yeah, I had seen these Pride objects at Walmart, but you know, they're not exaggerated objects like straps for reducing your breast size. There's always been flags of LGBT and a few LGBT t-shirts when I go to Walmart. And so I think it's going to be hard for the right wing to start a boycott of Walmart on that basis. So yeah, I'm not particularly shocked. Assisted suicide pod approved for use in Switzerland. At the push of a button, the pod becomes filled with nitrogen gas, which rapidly lowers oxygen levels, causing its user to die. So here you have this woman saying bye-bye. I don't know, is she gonna actually die? Or is she just demonstrating the pod? DK Shadow says, I will not get in the pod. Blanket says, Jeff, they're doing kid onesies for kids. It says it in the article, I think. Yeah. And it's like, I don't object to parents who are crazy in their fucking head having the right to buy crazy t-shirts to their children. So I've never taken issue with a onesie. Now, a onesie existing. Now, if you tell me that this onesie is worn, and there may be context in which I object that it is worn in front of my children, in the sense that it's propaganda. And yes, we have to combat propaganda in all its forms, anti-natalist propaganda. But I'm not surprised that Walmart is offering some shirts if people want to buy it. What's a onesie? A onesie is those baby clothes that are one piece for the top and the bottom. Typically, you know, it's a top and some place for the legs of the baby to get out. And that's it. That's a onesie. Blanket says, not even a gay onesie, JF. Well, that's what I was thinking. I was talking about gay onesies. Margarita was saying, I just want to point out the international waters the USA insists on sailing through. So when you see a news item that tells you, oh, a Chinese destroyer has sailed extremely dangerously close to a USA boat, it happened here. What the fuck are you doing here? You are, of course, here to install your base, your military base, your takeover of Taiwan, to piss off China. That is what you're doing. You have an outpost of America just beside China. You wouldn't let such an island around the US. You didn't let the Cuba be taken as a site for missile silos. And so what you're doing is you're bullying China. You're scaring China. And so don't be surprised if some boats get close to you. Because this guy was saying, in which universe is this dangerously close? The U.S. cannot be claiming freedom of navigation for its warships in the Taiwan Strait and at the same time deny the same right to the Chinese Navy. Now, this is not dangerously close. It looks like very safe. It looks like, in fact, the U.S. is kind of trying to put itself in the way. It's like, well, you know, you could slow down maybe if like you are headed toward the Chinese ship. It looks like you're trying to close the distance so you get a good video and you scare us. Mark D's channel says Americans are playing cry bullies. They go over there looking for a fight and play victims when China is unhappy with the situation. Exactly. And it's so dishonorable because it's the warmongers. It's the Nikki Haley of this world that want to create this climate of hate and tension. Apple Vision Pro starts at $3,500 a year. New glasses by Apple. And people were saying, like Ian Malmström was celebrating and saying, Apple just owned Mark Zuckerberg. This is better than the metaverse. I'm not super excited. It's a bunch of glasses that give you virtual displays, basically. And it allows you to enrich the world around you because you can see the real world through the glasses, but you can see added things to it. So you can see a window, but you can also change that window for a screen. And then suddenly you have an augmented window, augmented reality. You could see a change of your decor. You could. I'm not super excited because these things, they take way too much of your visual attention. You know, to a certain extent, even the modern desktop, and especially I look at my desktop computer here with three screens, I'm basically wrapped into a virtual world already. And it's too much in a way. And to be completely separated from family life, to be completely isolated in that world, I don't think is very interesting. To do this at very high price and with stuff that will be perhaps at the beginning harder to control because the clicking, how is it going to work? I don't exactly know. Maybe you're going to click with your eyes. Maybe they have eyes trackers in it. But I've never been charmed. I bought one of these very early devices because I thought it would be good to watch movies. But back then, it was a small rectangle. And even if you were to put the glasses on top of your eyes, it wasn't filling your visual field very much. So it wasn't very high quality what they could do then. Tillman says, JF, can you drive with them out on? I don't think it would be recommendable. I think there might be severe risks if you drive with this. Blanket says, JF, are you going to have a big celebration for your 1,000th episode? Well, you know, you guys keep asking me about JF. What would you do if you had a genie? A magic bottle? What would you do if you reach 1,000 episodes? What do you do on your birthday? And I'm disappointed to have to tell you guys that I do not consider days worthy of celebrations of any kind, because I'm so happy in my life. See what I asked to the genie? I didn't ask millions of dollars. I just want to find a solution to my mathematical issue that I have, to my mathematical problem, the Goldbach conjecture, and I want to live a happy family life. That is all I need in life. And the 1,000th episode is not something I will celebrate. It's not special to me. I don't celebrate birthdays. I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate my birthday. I don't expect people around me to celebrate or give me gifts. Shrek Mamel sends $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, Jeff, I just saw a very brutal video of a fight with two Haitians. I don't know how to say it in English. Yielding machetes. I'm afraid this will be the state of America in 100 years in the cities, in the neo-feudal age. I see no way. I see no way industrial society surviving the next century with such violence. Yeah, I think it's I think it's definitely what's going to happen. I've been predicting this. I've been telling people the demographic directions are... it's not necessarily going to be like this on every single square inch of the American continent. But I think you're definitely going to have something like no-go zones in the U.S., as you basically already have, but it's just going to get worse in those zones. But you're going to have a very bad dynamic, which is in Haiti. the system of violence doesn't have much to feed them other than their own intra-production, their own internal violence. And then the networks of humanitarian aid. So that is the dynamic. It's like whatever passes in humanitarian aid will come into this system of violence and they will fight for it. And there will be all sorts of corrupt network trying to appropriate it. But that's it. The problem of systems of violence as such developing within America is that there is an infinite flow of potential drainage of the rest of society. Like, you could have zones that are absolutely basically war zones where enormous amounts of people die from gun violence. And you'd still have politicians arguing that we should send money to these zones to save them, to care for them, to pay public schools for the children. So the problem is there's no limit. At least humanitarian aid is limited in the sense that It will come in a certain form, and whoever pays for it is paying the price of its uselessness. But taxes, you know, taxes can be voted for. People can vote politicians into power that will take money from people and bring it to them. Adam says, Thing says, Jeff, do you advocate for kids being taken out of public school? Well, I've always did. And I've always said that homeschooling is preferable. So homeschooling, it is. Homeschooling is the best solution. A graph of happiness differentials. What affects life satisfaction more? Winning $100,000 at the lottery or other major life event? So winning the lottery gets you 0.05 units of satisfaction. Going on unemployment, in the short run, you don't feel super sad. In the long run, over 5 years, you can feel super sad. Getting married, in the short run, you are more happy. In the very long run, at 5 years, you are back to your equal state, zero. A divorce makes you unhappy at the beginning and then back to normality within the range of variation here. Widowhood creates a lot of short-term sadness, but then long-term you recover to normal. And childbirth creates short-term sadness over short-term happiness over a year. And then over the 5 years, it's a recovery to base levels. So basically what I retain from this graph is that there's basically nothing you can do that create a long-term happy effect, perhaps other than just remain employed. And it's not so much a happy effect, it's just that you're not super sad. So basically, making policy and thinking of how should we handle society based on life satisfaction and measures of subjective happiness is ridiculous. It seems that human happiness is a capped variable. It's sealed. You can be a little slightly more happy on a short-term basis based on the events in your life, but long-term, it's like we're just standing robots. And I think that is something that people misunderstand. People have this conception that there are scales of happiness that they could reach, and they, especially when they think about the future and what could be, it's like, oh, we could have so much better. We could have so much better lifestyle. Well, the thing is, you're probably a robot of neutral emotions most of the time. It can be brought a little down, a little up, but it's going to converge to whatever it was in the caveman that was your ancestor a million years ago. And no matter whether you have a big house or a small house, it's all going to be the same. Scheme by California woman cost USPS $60 million in revenue. A California woman faces up to 10 years in prison over a counterfeit postage scheme that cost the USPS an estimated $60 million. She shipped 9 million parcels over the course of 6 months using shipping labels belonging to a meter number, which had been phased out in 2020. What the fuck was she shipping? I mean, I don't get it. But yeah, so she was using a whole system of labels, but And why didn't you detect this? Aren't you scanning the labels at all? Here we have Comey, the FBI corrupt agent, who went after Trump, arguing that we shouldn't vote for Trump. It would be terrible because we would have what? A presidency of retribution.
You said that Trump poses a near existential threat to the rule of law.
So now we have Jen Psaki being an MSNBC journalist inside with Jen Psaki. Wow. So now we have the woman who used to be a spokesperson for the White House. She used to be a spokesperson for the very people that she's interviewing now. Isn't there a conflict of interest here? We have a Democrat Party agent. We have a Democrat Party agent on the other side. Holy shit.
This is a near existential threat to the rule of law. And this is something similar language that I hear privately from national security officials, some people you and I both know who will say this privately about what a second term could mean. But tell me a little bit about the specifics of what he could try to do. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about what 4 years of a retribution presidency might look like.
Let's think about a 4 years of retribution presidency. That sounds pretty good. I would love to see it. The problem is, I don't even know that Trump is capable of a retribution presidency. But if I could have a guarantee that Trump will operate a retribution presidency, I mean, he would gather my enthusiastic support. Nazi imagery suddenly becomes hyper complex societal phenomena. See, analyzing Nazi imagery is a complex question. Sometimes it can be the illustration of a complex history, and you may not necessarily fully understand what leads to Nazi imagery. The New York Times argues Nazi symbols on Ukraine's front lines highlight the thorny issues of history. Troops' use of patches bearing Nazi emblems risks fueling Russian propaganda and spreading imagery that the West has spent a half century trying to eliminate. This is the same thing they had done with Facebook. What was it that they've done with Facebook? It was, oh yeah, they were suspending the hate speech rules, but only if it's to adore the Ukrainian Nazis. And it has to be that you adore them because they are participating to the war against Russia. It used to be that the leftist journalists would just go after any symbol of Nazism. They would see it everywhere. They would see it in internet memes. They would say Pepe is a Nazi symbol. But now Nazi symbols aren't Nazi symbols. Mark D says, funny how they are not so nuanced when an FBI plant show up with a Nazi t-shirt to the peaceful protest. The nuance suddenly disappears. SEC complaint aims to unilaterally define crypto market structure. Binance is being combative against this SEC lawsuit. They are saying, look, we've been trying to deal with the SEC. We've been telling them, hey, we're going to do any adjustment you like. What is it? What is the problem? How can we make things right so that we are in respect of the law? But they say the SEC has refused to productively engage with them. So the lawsuit basically takes a couple of coins and says these coins are securities. and you're selling these coins on Binance. Therefore, you are a securities exchange and you are unregistered and you don't follow the securities law. So therefore, you are sued. And Binance is saying, well, we tried engaging with them, tried to make the situation better, and they weren't productive. They didn't want to tell us. Basically, they wanted the lawsuit. They wanted the publicity of the lawsuit. They wanted the headlines. Blanket says, Jeff, you didn't already know Raggedy Ann joined a terrible news network months ago? I knew, but it's shocking when you see it. When you see Jen Psaki interviewing James Comey, you realize just the extent of the crap that we're in. It's like it's a Democrat circle jerk, including pro-Democrat fake whistleblowers being interviewed. Not fake whistleblowers, but like kind of hidden deep state agents of the Democrats being interviewed by deep state agents of the public side of the Democrats. What kind of truth do you expect from this? What kind of pertinence can you expect from this interview? It's like it's all going to be posturing for ideas that the Democrats want you to believe. It's all going to be very Democrat circle jerky. And then, to be clear, any allegations that user assets on the Binance.us platform have ever been at risk are simply wrong. And there is zero justification for the staff's action in light of the ample time the staff has had to conduct their investigation. They're talking about the SEC staff here. And they are bragging at the end of the letter. They say, in the end, this lawsuit is not super important and it's limited in reach because they say Binance is fundamentally not a US exchange. So it's, and that's correct, but Binance.us is a US exchange. So they say it's going to have limited reach because Binance is not a US exchange. But they say still we stand with digital asset market participants in the US in opposition to the SEC's latest overreach, and we are prepared to fight it to the full extent of the law. So this news that there was a SEC lawsuit against Binance has thrown the crypto markets down, but it has stabilized since this morning, and so I don't know what's going to happen going forward. Perhaps a further drop if there's more nervousness on the market, or perhaps a recovery now. I'm not sure what to think about this. I don't really care. I have my Bitcoin. I'm ready for the bull run. It can come at any point in time. I don't care. SEC claims that these crypto assets, Sol, ADA, Matic, Phil, Atom, Sand, are all securities. They also claim that CZ admitted, we are operating a fucking unlicensed security exchange in the USA, bro. But I don't think it's CZ. But they cite, a Binance CCO, Chief of Operations, bluntly admitted to another Binance compliance officer in December 2018, we are operating as a fucking unlicensed securities exchange in the USA, bro. These security laws are just fucking annoying. You know what? The whole concept is security laws should protect investors, and the person who sells you securities should be able to inform you of the risk of those securities. Securities being a piece of paper that represents some investment in some cause. Generally, basically, a stock, a stake in a company. That's what securities are supposed to be. When you buy crypto, you know very well that it's all a very risky market. You know the risks, and it's not like Binance is going to inform you further. It's not like any of these securities courses will allow Binance to inform its user base better about these securities. So I find it extremely annoying that they're trying to take the rules that they made that are totally unfit to the crypto world, but they're trying to impose it arbitrarily on the crypto world just to create more expenses, just to create a less productive crypto world. I stand against all of this. And if I was the chief of the US, I would fire the SEC, I would shut it down, I would abolish security laws, and I would say, going forward, when you put your money in some risky investment, you take the risk, you inform yourself. It's not going to be a little course given to some woman in the office that's going to make you better informed about this. So I'm going to shut it down right now. John Drake says, we've never been better informed. You see all the wallets and everything. Exactly. It's like the level of transparency of the crypto world and the level of connectivity and the level of not being trapped in the sense that there are multiple ways in which you can in a decentralized fashion, make capital movements and get away from a token you don't want anymore. It's like it's never been so opened. And there's no such thing such as market blocks. You know, when they do this on the stock market, it's like, oh, the price has fallen too much. We're stopping the exchange for 15 minutes. You don't have this in the crypto world. Russia says it has put down a major Ukrainian offensive hours after it began. Did Ukraine forces just attempt to kick off their much-anticipated major counteroffensive only to have it put down immediately after it began? Russia said that it thwarted the major attack and that some 250 Ukrainian troops were killed, which included Ukraine sending 6 mechanized and 2 tank battalions to Russian-controlled southern Donetsk. On the morning of June 4, the enemy launched a large-scale offensive in 5 sectors of the front in the south Donetsk direction. The enemy has failed to reach its goals and was unsuccessful. It added that in total, the attacking forces lost 6 tanks, 3 infantry vehicles, and 21 armored vehicles in what would mark a significant defeat if confirmed. The enemy's goal was to breach our defenses in what they assumed was the most vulnerable section on the front line. During the day, the occupiers made 23 attacks, but all of them were repulsed by units of the defense forces. It's like this is the first time we get a test of what when Ukraine tries to advance on a front line that is actively defended. Because all of these counter-offensives up to now, they were all Russia withdrawals. It's like, oh yeah, the Russians were walking back and the Ukrainians were walking in. This shows just the power of the Russian military. This is what happens when they try to surprise the Russians and try to catch them on weak spots. They don't have the forces to do this. They've sent Ukrainians to their death. Ridiculous. Dead Star says, these idiots knew clear as day what a weapon of mass destruction was for. A couple thousand people on Russia's border, though, and they play real stupid about pretext. Okay, I don't know what you're referring to, but anyway. People are sharing this video, apparently, of someone annoying people with gunshots in neighborhoods, in otherwise what appears to be calm neighborhoods in New Orleans, Louisiana, I think. He's shooting bullets toward the windows of people. It's going to create damage. It could very well kill someone. There could be kids in there that just get shot. That's why we frequently have what they call stray bullets pass through a wall, pass through a window, and kill a child. We have this in Chicago relatively regularly. But now they're spreading to to other neighborhoods. I hope that this guy gets caught. Breaking, former Vice President Mike Pence files to run for president in 2024. He doesn't have what it takes to charm the nation. I don't think it's going to work for him. I'm guessing he must be trying to distinguish himself from Trump. I think he's very hurt that Trump kind of turned on him and says he has done the wrong things when he did the vote counting. And I think at this point he's trying to clean his legacy from being associated with Trump. So he says, I'm going to go against Trump. It's not going to work, but all right. Australian neo-Nazis are thriving on Elon Musk's Twitter. The far right is using a newly welcoming Twitter to hijack and insert itself into mainstream discussions online in an attempt to spread hateful ideas. Joel Davis, who is the last guest we had on the show. Joel, I was happy to see Joel Davis in this article. Joel Davis is an Australian white nationalist and anti-Semite who has avidly used Twitter since Musk's takeover to hijack mainstream discussion. He's used Twitter Blue to help drive the crusade against drag shows for children, more recently to campaign against the Voice to Parliament referendum. Okay. It seems he has the right to do all of this. It's like, okay, so he's objected to drag shows for children and a political issue about Aboriginal voices in Australia. That is what you got against him. That is his evil plan. He has an opinion. When a reply to a tweet by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese last week received more likes than the original post, Davis celebrated its success on Telegram. Cheers for juicing it, boys, and I implore you to keep juicing the fuck out of it, because the more savage the ratio, the more of a statement it makes. Also, it links to my thread on The Voice, which is solid mainstream conservative bait, he said. I think it's admirable that Joel Davis has a voice, precisely, as a voice for him and for his ideas on Twitter. I don't know what they're complaining about. A crypto punk has been lost. A terrible event. The loss of art. We lost another CryptoPunk's NFT today. Sadly, number 4051 was accidentally sent to an incorrect wallet address during an attempted trade and is now effectively burned/lost forever. Well, thank God. Thank God they disappear, these crap punks. There's way too many of them. Way too many of them. Can't believe I missed this. When DC public schools moved to online learning, teachers heard so many smoke alarms chirping in students' homes that the DC Fire Department launched a public outreach initiative to residents, showing them how to change the batteries. People needed to be told how to improve the noise in their home. Look, if you change the battery, it won't beep. And it will give better noise on your Zoom calls. interesting. Blanket says, JF, has anything changed at all since Linda Yaccarino became the CEO today? Yes, we have learned that Linda Yaccarino has been taking ahead, taking the CEO position in advance to the scheduled moment. So she is now the CEO of Twitter. I have not noticed any change. I have not noticed a single change on Twitter. Her presence hasn't resulted in anything that I could observe. So let's hope that it stays that way. Let's hope that we never get to hear about Linda Yaccarino, that she's out there trying to get advertising revenue for Elon, because I hope that he's successful on this. I want Elon to be successful at gathering advertisers to his cause. But there needs to be this, I won't fold. I won't fold on free speech. And what scares me the most is that whenever Elon says, I won't fold on free speech, I'm afraid that he will get offers. Well, can you at least fold on reach? Like, can I at least pay you so that this guy's Twitter account is totally knocked down forever? Because it's what... The problem is, if you don't stand for free speech equals free reach also, then reach is for sale. And the same way they bought platforms to ban us years ago, they will now buy platforms to silence us on the subscription fee, you know, to just $8 per month to keep all tweets of JF below 1,000 likes. Oh, you want to keep them below 100 likes? That's $1,000 per month. And it's like someone's going to pay. That's the problem. So I hope that Elon never converts reach for sale models. I mean, reach for sale is totally fine if it's someone paying to reach. Yeah, pay to reach, bro. Get $1 million and send them millions of clicks. That's all fine. But never make it so that I am separated from my audience because of a third-party payer. This cannot happen, Elon. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for being with me. And thank you so much to Lorenza, who's been doing an awesome job at clipping the show and putting those clips on Twitter. I love it in the morning when I wake up and she has put one or two important moments of the show in clips. I love it because I want us to reinvade Twitter. I want us to be in that growth around X videos, around the attempt of Elon Musk at developing Twitter into an X platform of all media. And I think there's lots of potential. It's the first time since the emergence of YouTube where I can say, okay, that is something that we could grow with. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.